Welcome in, everyone. I'm Gerard Romalo, and this is The Vegas Verdict. Here we take a look at local and national issues of interest. We offer down a verdict, ultimately, and we offer some legal insight as well whenever possible. Today, we are talking about short-term rentals. Should the restrictions on these short-term rentals be lifted? We have two guests with us today. Of course, we have Tony Abatangelo. He's the former judge. Sometimes he goes by Tony the Tapper. Thanks for being here, Tony. And we have Robert Lauer here with us as well. Robert is a developer and someone who has been directly affected by the issue of short-term rentals. So before we get started, we're going to take a short look at a video that basically encapsulates the issue that we're talking about here today. Let's take a look.
It's common practice at most resort destinations. Individually owned short-term rentals advertised on sites like Airbnb and VRBO. Increasingly popular with frugal travelers, but also quite lucrative for savvy investors. But winning in Las Vegas is never easy.
Now, I had friends who were making a ton of money doing it. The hotels got mad. They were upset that the revenue that they were seeing that could have come into the city and come into them, all the parking fees that they were missing out on, all those
famous resort fees.
Yeah.
In fact, Las Vegas is known to have some of the strictest short-term rental policies in the country.
You've got restrictions such as it has to be a certain distance from an existing resort property. So if you're near the Orleans or you're near, you're near the Luxor or something like that, you can't have a short-term rental property.
Which brings up the issue of how much regulation is too much? Should the homeowner be allowed to do what he or she wants with his own property? Ultimately, it's a question of balancing economic benefits with community impact. In Las Vegas, it's said the house always wins. But in reality, it might depend on which house.
Well, no question, the casinos absolutely carry a lot of weight and a lot of influence, and they're going to on an issue like this. It's estimated, I should point out, that about 90% of Las Vegas listings that are currently on Airbnb or VRBO are actually there illegally. These are people who are renting their property, but they're going against the rules and regulations that are required. Tony, let me get your thoughts on this initially. You're a native Las Vegan, and I'm sure your interests are divided. You want to protect our strip and our primary revenue source, but you're also a homeowner, and you understand entrepreneurism, and let me get your thoughts on this.
Well, you know me, I'm a big balance guy.
Yeah.
I'm not an extremist. I'm all about the balance. And being born and raised here, one thing I do have a problem with are the casinos, valet parking, now $30, $40.
Right.
Resort fees, they whack you for that. I mean, how much money do they need to make?
Right.
And on the other side, my in-laws, they have a house over by Old Valley High School, and there were people whooping it up, 3 o'clock in the morning, fighting in the street.
Yeah.
I mean, on an Airbnb.
Yeah.
So where's the balance?
Yeah, there has to be balance, no question. Rob, you bring a unique perspective because you think it's time to lift these restrictions. You think that they are unfair, largely unfair.
I think the regulations are unconstitutional, and the state Supreme Court has made that abundantly clear. And in fact, the homeowners and the Airbnb homeowners have brought a lawsuit against Clark County, and a judge here has ruled them unconstitutional. And in fact, we're not talking about regulating noise, which we all agree on, right? And let me be clear. If someone's making noise, there's already an enforcement mechanism. You call the police and they get cited, and that's a misdemeanor. But here's what's wonderful about an Airbnb. If they're noisy, you can throw them out right away. If they're a tenant, like I have next door to me where I live right now, I've had a tenant who's been loud and noisy. They can't be evicted. They have to go through the eviction process.
Right.
Months and months. These people can be tossed out. But the fact is that
how do you toss them out? The owner has to find out about it.
Airbnb,
the owner has to do something.
The Airbnb can toss them out if they violate the rules right away without notice.
So if I got
if you're
neighbor,
an Airbnb.
If I got a neighbor making a lot of noise, who do I contact? Besides the police, how do I get them out?
Well, the police certainly are your first call. You call them if they're disturbing you enough to call the police. You have a right to call the police, and they have to be cited. And those people are going to have to pay a fine to the city. And so we don't punish everyone.
But how do I get them out of the house?
You said, well, homeowner would.
That's not an easy. I know exactly where you're going with this.
But if they're an Airbnb tenant and they're there part time for a few days, they don't have tenant rights. They can be evicted immediately for violating those rules. But the court has ruled that this is unconstitutional. I have the court order here. And let's go into how extreme, frankly, Clark County went. Clark County, and this is the court order saying that Clark County authorized the entry and inspection of premises without notice. So they want to be able to send code enforcement and police to inspect an Airbnb home anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without anyone's notice. That's a blatant violation of people's constitutional rights.
That's unreasonable.
Yeah. You know, and it went on to talk about they wanted to restrict. Here we go. This is right from the county code. Prohibiting short-term renters outside the same family or group from staying in the same home?
Yeah. Wait a second. Are you saying, like, if I own the home, I can't rent to somebody outside my family?
It says you can only rent it to, one family. They can't have two families sharing it.
Oh, okay. Right.
Gotcha. Airbnb. Right.
In town and I want to sell my place for $3,000 a night or something crazy, and I want 10 different people from different families.
Right, different bedrooms.
That would be a violation.
That would be a violation of the county code.
Yeah,
yeah, but it also says get all those people in there.
Right.
You get all these people in there that are in different. They don't know each other.
Right.
I don't want to live with you if I don't know you for the weekend. So why am I doing that? But hey, some people do.
Yeah.
I guess it's like a hostel.
I think
so. You can't take your girlfriend and stay in an Airbnb.
Two different families,
right?
Not married yet, so not same family.
Well,
right?
You can't stay in the same room anyway.
I'm sure that never happens in Las Vegas.
Right? If you're not married, you can't have sex. So.
Well, this is Vegas, so.
Here's part of the problem. We have different rules depending on where you live. If you're in the county, sure. If you're in the city.
Henderson, North Las Vegas.
They all have different rules and different ideas about short-term rentals. And if you live in an HOA anywhere, in Southern Nevada, they don't allow these short-term rentals, but they're happening anyway. So is the idea of making something uniform or making some kind of uniform, does that sound more appealing?
Well, it's clearly, again, in the lawsuit that was cited, that it was arbitrary and capricious that they set rules where you could only have one home every 100 yards or 100 feet from this or that. And those are arbitrary.
Yeah.
I know people before this ever became a law, put all their money up and bought 2, 3, 4 houses. That's a retirement fund. And they're using them for Airbnb and making a lot of money. And then all of a sudden the county comes in and strikes it down and says, you can't do this. And they cite them. And shut them down. And now they have to make a mortgage and now they're going to potentially lose their home.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. The county is trying to claim that they have the authority to dictate whether you can rent your home by the month, the week, the day. I'm sorry. That's just completely wrong. You have a fundamental basic right to use your property to conduct commerce. And as long as you're not disturbing your neighbor, then you have that right to do that. But your neighbor doesn't have a right to tell you how to operate your home at all.
I think the exception would be if you live in an HOA, because that's an agreement.
Yes.
You sign the covenant when you move into an HOA.
I agree 100% with the HOA, yes.
Yeah, and
if you want to live in an HOA and you have to live by those rules.
You have to live by those
rules.
But
that's why people choose not to live in an HOA. They don't want to comply with those rules. They want to live the way they want to live according to the law,
right?
And not comply with their neighbor's mailbox rules and so forth.
What about this concept, Tony, that there's a casino lobby or a casino entity that's trying to prevent the little guy from making a dime so that they get all of the money?
Oh, absolutely. Look at Dottie's casinos.
Yeah.
With all respect to the guys I know from way back when, the Fertitas, they went after them.
Yeah.
The casinos want it all. They're the big boys in town.
Yeah.
So they back up a regulation. They back up, for example, marijuana lounges. I said, there's no way. Guy called me. There's no way marijuana lounges are ever going to come into play.
Yeah.
And guess what? Casino said, we want them. All of a sudden, it starts happening. When MGM and Harrah's and these big corporations, and they all got is it community liaisons?
Right.
You know, when they
right.
start endorsing candidates and
oh, yeah.
the Nevada Resorts Association starts funneling the money, that's where Rob is right.
Yeah.
They started, you know, they're dictating what's going on with policy.
Yes, all the money. They have the power to elect and influence and dictate policies and all sorts of things. You throw in the unions, it makes them even more powerful than
sure.
than and there's no question about
and that's
that.
What's fundamentally going on, right?
Yeah.
Is you follow the money, you look at
yep.
all the donations from the casinos, and I don't know if people realize how significant the Airbnb here is. We're talking 20,000 Airbnbs. That's
wow.
a lot of hotel rooms that are not being rented because they're Airbnbs that people are choosing to go there.
And
there
let me interrupt Airbnb- you too. There's still what 90-95% occupancy.
Right.
Right.
I mean,
right.
So it does provide a function. That's where, like I said, balance. And some of these regulations, which Rob, thank you for pointing out to me, because I haven't read Judge Peterson's order, but to walk into somebody's home without notice,
that's
unacceptable.
Yeah, that
ridiculous.
Cannot
they
cannot
also want
happen.
You to post a sign outside your home that is an Airbnb with your phone number to call 24/7.
And yeah. when nobody's there during the week, for example,
yeah.
guess what, a burglar or a robber, because I mean, I've had plenty of cases, let alone people I know who have been victims of home invasions,
mm-hmm. yeah.
because they, you know, some of these people don't care, but now they know that home is empty, they're coming
yeah,
in.
You're asking for trouble if you put a sign up in front of
right.
your home. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Once again, Rob, that's yeah. a ridiculous regulation. That's just inviting trouble.
And I'm not against any, you know, all regulations in this area, but it has to be uniform and equally applied to everyone and not arbitrary and capricious. And that's what we have currently going on.
All right. We're going to take a break here. We're going to continue this discussion. We'll be back with more of the Vegas Verdict right after this.
If you've been injured in an accident, you don't have to go it alone. At Paul Pata Law, we understand your injuries aren't just physical. They also bring financial burden and emotional strain. At our firm, it's not just about legal representation. It's about genuine care and commitment. Lock in the attention you deserve from your attorney. We'll get you on the path to recovery. Call Paul Pata Law. Legal security when you need it.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Vegas Verdict. Today, we're taking a look at short-term rentals. We have the former judge with us, Tony Abatangelo, and a local developer, Robert Lauer, is with us as well. You know, Tony, earlier you brought up a good point. You want to stay on the Strip. You're spending, you know, $300 a night, resort fee on top of that, valet fee on top of that. It's a, you know, you're in the thousands. I remember the first time I came to Vegas, I was in college. We had a buddy who was getting married and you know, we all kind of crammed together to try
right.
to afford what we could. And it was, you could still find a buffet and you
and
could find a
777 steak and lobster.
Those days are getting harder and harder. And, you know, as a result, nationally, this whole, actually internationally, this short-term rental idea has just gone gangbusters.
And speaking of international, a good friend of mine grew up here together. His son just went to Europe for like 6 weeks, and all they did was stay in a bunch of different Airbnbs.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, he's just graduated college on a budget. So there's a service that needs to be provided.
Right.
And you can't hammer these people.
You have to do your research. I mean, it's not going to, every place is not going to fit, you know, for everyone, but I've stayed in them. I've gone on ski trips and things like that. And you can find a nice condo, you know, two or three level
right,
place
right.
and you're in Breckenridge or you're in Aspen or whatever, and you're not paying Aspen prices.
Or go to Newport
right?
Beach and get one on the beach right there, a home on the beach. You can rent Airbnb. They're phenomenal.
And my son actually this weekend's going to Orlando for some festival, and him and like 10, 15 people, they're renting a huge mansion for way less than if they even stayed at a inexpensive hotel, I'll just
yeah.
say.
What motel. Does it hurt the hotel industry, do you think, that we have these? I mean,
well, it's simply 20,000 people a weekend that are not staying in their hotels. That's what it's about. And
yeah.
and those Airbnbs don't have their own union, they don't have their own lobbyists. They haven't come together. Although Airbnb, I will say, has failed miserably to defend those Airbnb owners across the country. I think they've only brought like one lawsuit in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Uber, Uber sued every county, every cab company, everyone in the country. That was their plan. And they really lobbied. and they broke through the cab monopolies, unlike Airbnb, who's kind of letting these owners twist in the wind a little bit, unfortunately. But the fact is, and the fundamental issue is, you know, as a person who believes in property rights, the purpose of government is to protect, expand, and expand our human rights and liberties, and that includes property rights. There's nothing more fundamental than our property rights, and the government being able to come into your home 24/7 and inspect your home is a blatant violation of that.
We're all in agreement that, that's not okay. But I think what they're trying to protect, in addition to these, you know, individual rights, is the tax base, you know, for the state, and the largest employers of the state, playing devil's advocate a little bit, they're trying to make sure that we don't tick them off too much, because look how many people they employ.
That's one thing I was reading about, because this is more your area, Rob, than mine, like on the day-to-day and all that kind of information. How does this really affect the property values of the neighbors? No, because like you're talking about people taking their savings and doing Airbnb versus Redfin and those companies walking in, just buying a house, putting in $10,000-$15,000 bad or mediocre improvement, and then flipping that house and skyrocketing the prices. What's your opinion on how this affects, like, you have an Airbnb next to
the
me.
The property values.
Yeah, how does it affect my property value?
Well, I will say there, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Henderson is still allowing Airbnbs in certain sections, unlike Las Vegas and Clark County, and their values have gone up because of that, because investors see it as a huge opportunity to buy a home and make money off it and generate significant revenue on return on investment. We're not talking a little bit of money. These homes can generate, you know, $20,000 a month, one home.
How do we get that home?
Yeah,
how do we get that home?
I know, that's a good point. The argument I don't buy is this argument against short-term rentals because there's noise and you can't control, you know, parking and that sort. I think you're going to get the same response whether it's a private citizen who owns a home and is having a party, or, you know, a visitor from out of town. I don't think there's going to be any difference. It's the same code enforcement. And for that matter, I'd like to know who's policing these. Is it the water people, the same group that goes out?
Well, if you've been on Airbnb, you'll know that you can actually give reviews of the tenants. So if they've been a troubled tenant creating problems and the police have been out, you can make sure that other homeowners that have Airbnbs know that these people are problems, to make sure that they're not rented in the future. So there are mechanisms in place to prevent those troubled tenants, those guests, from being obviously expanding the future, right? So there are ways to do that.
My guess is that it's not really being policed, because as I was reading, doing some of my research, it was estimated that somewhere upwards of 90% of people advertising on Airbnb and VRBO, the other one, vacation rental by owner, they're doing it illegally. They're renting places that are not technically within the jurisdiction that are supposed to be rented. So my thinking is they're just really not being policed to a certain level. And I'm not sure that they can be. I think if people want to rent out their home, if I want to rent out my home, I'm in an HOA. If I don't say anything, now, if you're advertising, I guess you could get into trouble.
Well, and for example, Rob said there's 20,000 of these. What are you gonna do, if code enforcement go to 20,000 homes? I mean, that's just too much.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, once again, balance. Just like the weed laws. You're only supposed to smoke technically in your residence, not even the hotel room.
Yeah.
You go in a hotel nowadays, I got friends that
happens outside of a residence, right?
Right. You know, the whole damn hotel smells like weed.
The elevators, let alone
the strip. You know, people are smoking weed, and I've had clients. And when they get in trouble, when they start smarting off to the cop or uncooperative.
Right.
And same thing. I'm all about free enterprise and making money. And another classic example, I had friends that had a long-term rental. Yeah, this nice elderly couple, they thought it was gonna be beautiful. These people were chain smokers and they trashed the place. But then when they rented to some young couple that they thought was a little suspect, they left the house immaculate, you know. I mean so you never know what you're gonna get.
You're taking your chances as well.
And that's, I presume, that's on the homeowner, whether, if the house gets trashed, then of course they write a bad review of the tenants, and hopefully those people are not rented.
But I also know homeowners who have Airbnbs. I know one in particular who had three of them, like I mentioned, never had a problem, ever in 3 years of renting them out every weekend. All, you know, she had weekly rentals, all kinds of things.
Probably never person come in and take care of the whole business.
Yeah, she had a business. She had them. She had someone who went over and cleaned the units after they left and took care of them. Yeah. But she never had a police report. Never had an incident in 3 years. So why should she be punished because of other bad operators?
Well, that's a good point. And I have a friend who lives in Carson City, but they bought a place here as well. Mm-hmm. They bought a condo. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking about it. He's thinking about renting it out when they're not here. They want to stay here in the winter because it's too cold up there. But the rest of the time, you know, you're sitting on a gold mine. It's March Madness weekend or it's a Super Bowl weekend or F1 weekend. You could make quite a bit of money.
Well, and in San Diego, for example, for years when my kids were little, my ex-wife and the kids and a bunch of their family members do a weekly rental of a beach house. Mm-hmm. Really, what's the difference?
Right.
I'm sure nowadays they go through Airbnb or VRBO, but before the internet, you know, you'd Google and search for a property management company, type in, as you mentioned earlier, Newport Beach or Mission Beach.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between having a weekly rental? And when we would leave, coincidentally, the cleaning people would be coming in to flip the property for the next week.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of getting $1,500 for the month, they're getting $1,500 a week, just making up numbers.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden you got $6,000 compared to $1,500. That's fair.
The numbers I'd like to see are the property value numbers. If there's some kind of research that shows that values are down, then I could see, well, maybe there's a benefit, you know, if we do have this certain restriction, but I'm not sure there is evidence.
Well, what kind of homes are typically going to be in an Airbnb? Much nicer ones, right? That are rentable and marketable.
Right.
And we don't see those going down at all in value. They're all going up. Yeah. Everything's going up here still.
And the type of people you're renting them to are people that are going to be respectful of the home.
Well, if you have a nice home and it's on Airbnb, it's not cheap. It's not cheap.
Right.
It may be a couple thousand dollars here in Vegas on a good weekend.
And here's the thing, you know, when you have young kids or you got a bunch of people, you know, you can stock the refrigerator.
But
you can save yourself a lot of money.
Right. You have a pool in the backyard to go swim in. You can, you know, have your family there. Yeah. Kids, right? Do you want to bring little kids to a casino hotel?
Look, growing up here, I never understood how Vegas is a family resort. And when you see the people pushing a kid through a casino on the stroller at 11 at night, you're like, what the hell is going on here? But like you said, I can leave my kids here, let the teenagers babysit when I'm out gambling and partying and all that. You know, I mean, it gives you, instead of sitting in a hotel room.
Yeah. I really do. I mean, I lean toward the free enterprise. I think about a friend of mine who was a realtor. She was fortunate to have the Maloof family as her clients. And
okay, so from this podcast, I learned to hang out with you to get and you to get a $20,000 a month rent.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting good stuff here.
The story with that is that the Maloofs were selling their Southern Highlands, you know, palatial mansion, whatever it is. But the market wasn't great. So she came up with the idea of doing short-term leases and renting it. And she was able to get Mariah Carey to rent it when she had her residency here, which, you know, that's a great free enterprise story for people who are already rich. Right. But what about the little guy having a little free enterprise?
Right.
You know, so
you got to keep it fair for everybody.
Right.
Instead of the rich getting richer, let somebody like you mentioned again, Rob, with their investment of their retirement money, get their three homes and make their money.
Or maybe it's their primary home and they're retiring and they want to go move into a small little, you know, senior citizens housing, but they keep their home and it's generating revenue and they can live off that.
Like Jared said, it's Carson City friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to be up north when it's cold.
Well, and that makes sense. And we do want people to invest here, you know, but we don't want to take away their reasons for investing also. I think it's a balanced thing. Tony touched on that. We're going to issue a verdict here in just a minute on whether the restrictions should be lifted. I think maybe modified is probably going to be the better question. But we'll be back with more of the Vegas Verdict right after this break.
Legal troubles require swift action, and there's only one attorney who's quick on his feet.
Legal troubles don't wait, and neither should you. I'm Tony Abbotangelo, a former judge with 30 years' experience. I know the judicial system, and I know what will work for you in court.
When your circumstance requires a skilled negotiator who knows the law, Tap into Tony. He's a former judge who can defend your rights. Call 707-7000.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We've been having a great discussion about short-term rentals. Those are the properties that are listed on sites like Airbnb. There are some pretty significant restrictions in Las Vegas and in the surrounding municipalities as well. And today we're asking the question, should those restrictions be lifted? Or probably more accurately, should these restrictions be modified? Nobody wants a neighborhood that is full of trash or noise or a bunch of cars that don't belong to people who live there necessarily. But that's not always the case with these Airbnbs. And Rob, you were bringing up a very good point that most of these people, they abide by the rule. And in a lot of cases, they actually bring up the property values, right?
Yeah, because they have to spend a lot of money to invest in the homes to make them really nice to rent them out for premium dollars. But I also want to make this last point, and that is, there already are laws on the books about disturbing your neighbors. We don't need more laws to stop people from disturbing their neighbors. If that's the issue, cite them and fine them. That's the only, and it's already on the books. We don't need more regulations for that.
And one thing I can agree with Rob on is we got enough laws. Being a former judge, being a lawyer since 1990, we got laws for everything.
Yeah.
And then laws we don't even know about. You know, I mean, there's just law after law after law.
And the question, too, comes in with respect to enforcement. Who's enforcing all these laws? I mean, if 90% of those advertising on Airbnb are doing so illegally, clearly there isn't, you know, the capacity to enforce all of these laws. So that's another issue.
And I think off the video we were talking about, Rob made a good point. If you want to have a license fee, $100, and either reasonable or no regulations, let the county get some bucks for that.
Sure.
And get their money besides their property taxes,
right,
that we're all paying that own a home.
Yeah.
And everybody's happy. Everybody makes a little money, just like the week.
Charge them a room tax, that's all.
Yeah.
You know, just like a hotel, a $10 a night or whatever it is.
Yeah, 6% to rent the home. Yeah. Five, whatever the number is. I can't remember what it is now, but it's one of the lowest in the country.
Right.
Because guess why? The resorts don't want a big room tax.
Well, that brings us to the real issue at stake here. It's the little guy versus the casino lobby is what it is. The hospitality industry.
100%.
They have the power. They have the influence. They can get people elected. They can get laws changed. And there's really no way around. It's going to be, as long as we have casinos in Las Vegas, that's the way it's going to be. And hotels, for that
matter. And that's in every jurisdiction.
And by the way, the police are at the hotels all day long, every day, with breaking up noise and complaints and issues there, too.
Right.
So it's everywhere. It's Vegas.
I think if you're dealing with something extreme, you can call code, you can call police, and they'll deal with it the same way, whether it's a rental or not.
But there's a lot of good operators, Airbnb operators, and they shouldn't be punished for the bad ones.
The other problem that we have, and we'll wrap this up, is that we have different laws depending on where you live. And in Clark County, you could be equidistant from the Strip, but the laws can be different. And I think that is part of the problem. When you don't have continuity, laws get clouded. You know, it gets cloudy, it gets gray. And then that's when you have a lot of people that start to do their own thing.
Well, the state legislature did impose regulations, limited regulations, broad regulations, but making it legal. So that's where we're coming in with these cities and counties imposing regulations, because they can't ban them outright because the state legislature made it legal. So that is in place, but that's why we're seeing this overreach where we got to put up a sign, you have to have your number available, we can come in and search your home anytime and inspect it. They're overreaching because they want to regulate it to death. That's their goal.
All right. I think we're ready to hand down a verdict on this. And the way this works is I'm going to count down from three. The question we're asking today, and we'll have some clarification after on our thoughts, but the question we're asking is, should restrictions be lifted on these short-term rentals? So a yes or no after this countdown in 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Yes.
I think we're all in agreement. Finally, we have a unanimous verdict. You know, a lot of our verdicts are hung juries, if you will. But I think the restrictions are too different. They're vague. in some respects, and they're arbitrary in some respects, and then they're really ridiculous, like the ones that you brought up as far as people being able to enter your home at all hours to inspect whatever is going on. That's just, you know, in Texas, that's a good way to get you shot, you know, I think.
Right.
But we're not encouraging that.
Well, my father-in-law has a lot of guns, so his house too.
We're not encouraging that, just to make that clarification. Tony, your final thoughts on this before we wrap up.
I think Rob did a great job bringing in the Judge Peterson decision.
Yeah.
It's a reasonable decision.
I think so too.
And I'm not going to keep repeating everything, but maybe as we discuss off this record, have a little bit of a tax, just like the weed has a tax, the gaming has a tax. There's a room tax.
Right.
Give them a little hit. Everybody makes some money, and from everyday little guy making, you know, has a couple homes.
Right.
And
right.
God bless him for being aggressive and trying to get out there and make a buck.
100%. I think I just elected Tony to the office to just based on that argument. That makes perfect sense.
Well, my wife wants me to run for mayor, and our next campaign would be, that's all you found?
Very, very common sense approach, though. Yeah. Rob, your final thoughts on this.
Well, we here in Nevada respect property rights, and that's a fundamental core of our value system here. Mm. But we also respect each other as neighbors, and so we have to do both.
Yeah, and we respect the casino industry. We understand that it's a driver. It is the driver, you know, and yes, we want to broaden our industries and all of that, but you have to respect what the casino industry has done and continues to do in terms of tourism and our taxes and, you know, tax revenue and all of that. You've got to throw that into the picture as well.
100% agree.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much. Rob Lauer, Tony Avitangelo, once again, appreciate you guys being here and offering your thoughts and your expertise. You've been watching The Vegas Verdict. If you'd like to become involved, please check out our website, vegasverdict.com. You can hear this podcast and many others on Spotify, Amazon, and Apple Podcasts as well. Give us your thoughts, send us an email, and perhaps one day you will be a guest of the show as well. This has been The Vegas Verdict. Here's a look at this week's Vegas Viral. One man shows us how no matter your location, you can always get in a good workout. Who needs the gym when you have a perfectly good escalator? Our brave athlete here choosing an unconventional stair climber for his cardio technique. Little wobbly. Uh-oh, here comes some obstacles. Oop, wait. Get into a little boxing now. Ouch. That's one way to try to clear a path. Just goes to show, with a little determination and probably a little extra liquid inspiration, in Vegas, you can get nowhere pretty fast. Facing a disorderly conduct charge, public intoxication, substance abuse, first, second, third offense after yet another regrettable decision, you need legal help. Contact The Vegas Lawyers. And that's your dose of this week's Vegas Viral. Remember to look for us on your favorite podcast platforms and stay connected on our website, vegasverdict.com.